Hall of Fame quarterback for the in the CFL. Of course, played for the Eskimo. Well, I don't want to list all the teams he played for because I almost list the whole league. Played for everybody. Also was a dynamic pitcher. Went to Major League Baseball camp for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Damon Allen joins us. Damon, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Man, it's always nice to talk to former people from Edmonton. That's where I started my career, so it's always great to talk to, you know, the foundation that prepared me to be the player that I eventually became.
Well, that's great. We had nothing to do with it, but we like that it started in Edmonton. I know Edmonton fans loved watching a young Damon Allen. But in story time, we'd like to find out the Damon Allen before he came here. So you and your brother Marcus, Damon, were you guys like, were you Pop Warner from like the age of 6 or 7? How quickly did you get into football?
Yeah, I started earlier than my brother Marcus and my oldest brother Harold. And so I started around 7 years old. You know, playing Mighty Mites. My first year, I was a defensive back or safety. And how I became a quarterback, because I always tell this story because I could have been a really good defensive back. But I was covering a receiver, and the fact I was covering him so well, they were calling me Linus because I carried a blanket.
I love it.
But the ball was overthrown, and so I just jogged over and picked it up, and I threw it back. And then the coach said, hey, we just found our quarterback. And that's how I became a quarterback. And so I think a lot of ways that sometimes, you know, I had to learn how to become a leader because, you know, now you're in a leadership position. And so there are things I had to learn, you know, just like swimming, you got to participate to be, to learn all the things you need to learn at the quarterback position. But it was a position it was natural for me because I did play baseball at 7 and Little League, and I was a pitcher, so I can always throw. And so that's the position that just naturally, you know, happened. But sometimes you don't always see it. You have to play other positions to get to the position that you're naturally are created to do. So
it seems such a random way for an amazing football career to start like that. You know, once you get going, you're playing quarterback. What did you like about it most?
What I liked about it most was. So once I started to play that position, and then now it's about learning every aspect. So, you know, my father was a sports fan, and so we used to watch Sunday football, and I would watch the Pittsburgh Steelers at that time. So the first quarterback I ever seen was Joe Gilliam for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was before, or him and Bradshaw was fighting for the Pittsburgh Steelers job, and Joe Gilliam, I think, won the job, but His slim build, body structure. I always seen myself very much like Joe Gilliam, and he can throw too, even though he was, you know, fairly skinny. And so I think with that, you know, I just started to look at every aspect because it's a little bit different now. And nowadays, you know, young kids can get private lessons and learn the position, but. You know, for me growing up, I had to either participate, you have to watch it on TV, you have to find different ways to learn the game. And so we played in the streets. We played in the park, tackle football and those things. And so that's how we learn. You know, like I said, nowadays young people, they can literally like hire a professional coach for that position specific. Because now we're in the private lessons and all these things. So it's different ways to get better. And those are the ways I had to. So I watched a lot of television. I read about the game, especially the quarterback position. And so I was always taught to be very, very much like Joe Montana, you know, cool under pressure, like Cool Hand Luke. If you're watching the Cool Hand Luke movie, he can do anything. So there's different ways that you learn and how you learn that position. And you just pretty much, you know, take it into your own arsenal. So it's, you know, just like a computer. I was a computer and I took in a lot of things, gathered information, stored information, and tried to be the best version of Damon Allen growing up.
Damon Allen joins us in story time. So you're a quarterback, fairly young, and then you're just learning as you go. And obviously it worked because you ended up getting a scholarship to Cal State Fullerton. But Damon, was there a time, you know, because back then there were multi-sports athletes. You're playing baseball, you're playing football, you know, you're doing lots
That's
of other
right.
things. But at what age did you have to become a full-time football guy? Was that not until college, or even in college were you still a two-sport athlete?
I was still a two-sport athlete ever since I was seven to university. So basically the two sports I played was baseball and football throughout all high school, college. And then, like I said, I got drafted in baseball by the Detroit Tigers when they won the World Series in 1984. I went on to university. I mean, it's always interesting that my first year in high school, 10th grade year, I didn't play football at all. Because I thought I was too small, and I think that was the thing that I dealt with, my size issue that I always had an issue with, and it really stopped me from playing football my first year of high school because I thought I was too small for the position, and so I didn't play football my sophomore year in high school, but I was playing baseball.
Okay, and then in grade 11 you went back. Did you have a growth spurt?
Well, no, it ended up happening. I used to sit and go to their practice every day and sit in the grass and watch them practice and those things. And it was the JV coach that came over and said, man, Damon, you know, we watch you ever since you were in Pop Warner football, and you can play the position at this level as well. And he says, well, hey, our JV quarterback got hurt. We've got five more games to play in our JV team. Why don't you come play the last five games of the season? And so it was a coach that actually got me back into playing. And so I did play the last five games of the JV season, and I threw 20 touchdowns. And then the next year, they made me the starting quarterback of the varsity, and then we won CIF 2 years in a row. I lost two games in 2 years. And then the next year, I was getting a scholarship to go to university. So it's always a unique story, but it's a story that I always press upon kids that don't allow the very game that you're passionate about and stop you from pursuing your dreams just because you have a little bit of self-doubt if you can make it or not. And, you know, my issue was my size. And so don't forget, when I first came to Edmonton, I weighed in 157 pounds my first year.
That's
so you
amazing.
Can imagine how much I weighed in university and how much I weighed in high school.
So, that's a lot of six pack.
Right. So even when I first signed with the Eskimos in '85, I went to the press conference and they wanted me to weigh in, and so the room went quiet because they didn't realize how small I was.
And so you weighed in at
157 pounds, and then right after that, they were trying to use everything, weight gain and all that stuff to put weight on me. But that's what I was, about 157 pounds soaking wet. But when we played our first scrimmage game, when they used to have the green and gold game.
Yeah.
In Commonwealth Stadium. I remember they gave me the uniform. My socks wouldn't stay on my legs because my legs were too skinny. I was wearing orange cleats because, you know, the Fullerton Titans. I had Puma shoes because my brother was a Puma, so I had some orange Puma shoes, and they gave me the uniform. But I played against our first defense, and Dunnigan was playing with the first offense. I played with the second, but we're going against the first defense. And I think I rushed for like 100-something yards and threw for 250 in the scrimmage. And they were like, whoa, son, you're going to be all right. Because, you know, even with that size, I mean, I realized, you know, how I had to play the game, which I always played the game being very elusive, understanding how to play the game, you know, when they full out blitz, you know, I have to get rid of the football. And so it's all those little small things I had to be really sharp at to allow me to stay healthy. And then plus I had the skill level of running and making people miss and those things. And so that's what allowed me to survive, you know, all those years.
Now, Well, 100%. Amazing career. Joined by Damon Allen, longtime professional quarterback. And Damon, you know, I just want to take you back to college. You know, was it important for you to stay in California as you went on to play your university sports?
Well, and at the university level, there were a lot of schools that wanted me to play baseball.
Okay.
And there are some schools, well, it wasn't many schools there, but wanted me to play football. And so I wanted to go to the school which allowed me to play two sports. And really, Fullerton was the only school. I knew I was talking to a lot of Pac-10 schools, and they wanted me just to play baseball. But I wanted to play football. But it's funny that me and Randall Cunningham came out the same year, and we were in the same division. And he was actually dealing with the same thing that I was dealing with, even though he was probably 6'4", about 190 pounds when coming out. And he was an All-American punter, and he was a quarterback as well with UNLV running Rebels. And so for him, our stories are very similar because his brother went to USC as a tailback, Sam Bam Cunningham. My brother went to USC as a tailback at USC as well. But it was that same school that didn't want us to play quarterback. And so – you know, I think it was always somewhat of a motivation, and you know, to go out there and play well and do well and really fight for the position. Because even after my 4 years of college, I mean, the NFL was at that time was trying to, you know, switch my position, ask me if I can play receiver or I can play DB. And not saying I'm not athletic enough to do those things, but my mindset was all, you know, I want to play quarterback. And so Warren Moon was the guy that really got me to the CFL, because in 1982, my brothers, the NFL strike,
yep.
And they start showing CFL games in 1982. And so, and me not knowing that, I didn't know the Eskimos at that time had my rights when I was a sophomore in college. So my coach didn't tell me until my senior year, and he was telling me, there's a guy that's watching you practice, play for the last 2 years before you finish university, and it's the Edmonton Eskimos. And then I remember, oh yeah, that's the team Warren Moon played for.
And then, he had a pretty good career, and for the exact same team. So yeah, I could see how a quarterback
absolutely
would be like, hey, you know what? That might not be a bad place to
right
to go
then,
check
you know,
out.
When I got there, they were calling me Dame Moon.
No pressure, Damon, at all. No pressure.
Right.
I think
we found the next one. You know, but they were calling me Dave Moon. We got him. Because I think Moon left in 83, and then I came in 85. So.
Yeah, and there was Dunnigan and then Tracy Ham. Okay, we're going to talk about that, man. Like that might have been the greatest 1-2-3 quarterbacking trio in CFL history. Damon Allen joins us on Storytime and Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. He continues on with us in Storytime. He was a buck 57, yes, a slight 157 pounds when he came to the Eskimos. Obviously, it did not hamper him. You were with the Green and Gold from 85 to 88. Damon, there's yourself and Matt Dunnigan and Tracy Ham. And have you ever been in your pro career in that competitive of an environment with three quarterbacks like those three?
I think you know, when you start to learn the reason during the time in the 80s why Edmonton was so good is the fact that their quarterback situation was very competitive, and I think you realize early on the one way you can really improve your team is based on quarterback trades, whether you have someone on your neg list or you have two or three backups on your football team. And so, you know, when I first came to Edmonton in 1985, you know, I didn't really know too much about Matt Dunnigan. I think he was already an all-star. He was probably in his third year. And so sometimes, you know, you don't realize if you're going to play or not. But I think when I first got to Edmonton, I remember playing one preseason game because back then we played four. I played the first preseason game, a half of football against Saskatchewan, and I did well. And then the next three preseason games, I was in street clothes. And I remember calling my mom and said, you know, Mom, I don't think I made the team, because you would always assume if they really wanted you that you'll play in all those preseason games to get you ready to play. But they had already gave me the number two job, playing a half of football. And then it was Brad Taylor and the quarterback – I'm trying to think, before the backup to Matt Dunnigan, they were fighting for the number three job. And so it was just amazing to go in that competitiveness. And I think I did an interview with on my podcast, the whole nine yards, and I interviewed Brian Kelly because, I wanted to know, what did you think of me when I first got to Edmonton? as a quarterback and, him, playing against Moon and playing with all these great quarterbacks that come out of Edmonton, Wilkie and all those guys. And it was pretty cool to, to hear his analogy of what he thought of me coming in. And so, that gave me a huge boost and confidence to be able to know that. And then right away, now I become the backup. And then, I take that role very seriously. And I think a lot of times, sometimes we see in our games, the backups don't take that role very seriously because the backups are going to play, especially in the CFL. So you always have to be ready to play. And, I took that role very seriously, and I wanted to be that ultimate backup that, when you talked about the Edmonton Eskimos, you're talking about that two-headed monster they got. When you're playing against, you got to play against Dunnigan and their backup. And so it really got to that point. And that's why, the Eskimos, we were so tough because, we didn't really miss a beat, if, Dunnigan got hurt. And, there were times that I did have to come in the game and play well, and we still won. And so that was just fueling my confidence and my skill set that I know I belong in this league and want to play. And, so it's really cool to understand your roles and all the things that you have to face. And they're not challenges. Those are just, the things you have to face, overcome. And because at the end of the day, I want to win, as a football team.
Let's talk a little bit of that year where you did, you jumped in when Dunnigan got injured, and it led the Eskimos to a Grey Cup versus Toronto Argonauts. You mentioned how you prepared so much as a backup, just like you were going to go be as a starter. What were your thoughts as you entered that game, and that was what such a thrilling game at, I believe that was in Vancouver?
It's funny. It's, I've been asked that question over the last couple of weeks, and, what were you thinking? I can say I dreamed about getting the opportunity to play. What really helped me as well is, I think that year, I started 8 games, and I think we went 7-1 during that time. And right before the playoffs started, Dunnigan came back, and then we went through the playoffs. I didn't play in any of the playoff games, but the fact that we were playing in the Grey Cup game, and what made it so much easier for me to come in and play is because I started against the Toronto Argonauts in Commonwealth, and I think we put up 41. It was a shootout, but we won that game. And so I think me stepping in that game, it was almost like deja vu. And then at the same time, like I said, I dreamed about having the opportunity to play, not knowing that, Dunnigan would get hurt or those things. But I knew that if I get the opportunity to play, I hope I'm in the situation where, I can help our team win. And it actually fell that way. I mean, the storyline, came about that way because I pretty much just played a little bit over a half of football.
Damon Allen joins us. Damon, I want to ask about the Sally Rand, which basically you ran all the way to a great cup. Tell us about how that came about that year. Who was the brainchild of it to become so successful, and why it worked so perfect for you and your team?
Well, it's because I'm a two-dimensional player, right? A guy who can run and throw. And so I think early in my career, as much as I'm a quarterback, as much I wanted to throw like 50 times a game, I think when my first probably 10 years in the career, I was pretty much on offensive systems where we ran the ball and we threw the ball probably on an average of 25 tosses a game. And so that was a system I had to play in. And I really didn't start to, throw the ball more until really the second half of the season when I started to play in BC and then play in Toronto. I went indoors and start getting those attempts. And that's where I think my numbers really started to grow. But the first 9-10 years, I was pretty much a runner, design plays to run, because when a quarterback runs, you have an extra blocker, especially when the safety's in the deep, 25 yards deep in the middle, you have an extra blocker on the with the running back, and so it makes it very difficult for, you know, defensive teams to actually control the run. And then the naked booth, the naked Sally Rand came about when Adam Rita told me about the history of Sally Rand. And it was, you know, basically it was a naked bootleg. So my job was to read the end, and without any blockers and all that stuff, I had the ability to pull or keep based on reading the end. And sometimes, you know, you can do it from shotgun and have the runner come across the quarterback, and I'm reading the field side in, and he crashes, I keep. If he stays outside, I hand off, or I come underneath the center, and it's just a field thing, you know. But, like, with that, I would always, you know, look at situations where if you, when we're playing a team that their ends are not shifty, their ends are slow foot, then it didn't matter. When I just pulled because, you know, I just felt I was quick enough, shifty enough, and even if they're out there waiting for me, I don't think they can tackle me. And so Sally Rand came about that, and yeah, the Sally Rand, you know, basically, you know, walked us right to the Grey Cup pretty much, because it ended up being very difficult to control because of my ability to run and get outside the pocket, and me running and throwing, and those things made it very difficult, along with, like you said, you're focusing on the tailback, and then you forget about, you know, my abilities to run. And that was no different when I went to BC, when we had the 3D backfield with Drummond, the Diesel, and then Damon, the 3D. So when we went to 2000 Grey Cup, it was no different, right? They were so focused on Drummond and Militant in the Grey Cup game, then they forgot about, yes, this guy can still run. And I think I had 40-something or 50 yards in that game as well.
Talking with longtime
CFL. It gives a different dynamic. And, you know, like I said, you know, I had the ability to beat you with my legs and with my arm.
Talk with longtime CFL quarterback Damon Allen. Damon, thanks for so much time you've given us here. You know, I want to talk a little bit about your 1 year with the Memphis Mad Dogs, and I believe that's your only season you played in the United States. What was that experience for like for you going down south and playing in your home country?
I think it was amazing. you know, they gave me the key to the city in Memphis. I think the most difficult thing, because they did a good job of promoting the game, you know, faster, bigger, more scoring. And then when we got to the field that we're playing against, we're playing on American fields, and they were trying to expand a U.S. field with Canadian dimensions. And it made it very difficult. And I think that's where the CFL really struggled, and it really affected the game in the States. And then plus our scheduling, when do we play? Because you're talking about college football, you know. I think one time we played a game, it was on the same day as Alabama playing Memphis State. So it was like, no one's at our game. Because they're at the Memphis State and Alabama, or that they played the day before or something. But I think the experience. I mean, that year you didn't hear any teams, you know, struggling financially, because, you know, all those U.S. franchises were paying the $3 million admission fee to get in the league, and so, you know, the Memphis Mad Dogs, our ownership was FedEx at that time. He was running an $8 billion company worth. You know, I think Dunnigan was in Birmingham, and I think he was the ALL giant, insurance giant, was the owner of that team. And so, yeah, great ownership, but it was just the fields, scheduling made it very difficult. But, I mean, they accepted football, and it was good time. And, you know, you can see what the Baltimore Stallions were able to do down there and win a championship in Baltimore for it. And that city really wanted them to stay before the Ravens got there.
Jason Gregor, Jason Strickland.
Is really good.
Damon Allen joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Damon, tell me about the decision to go try out for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Was that just something you had to do before your career was over, just to kind of fill that void to ensure you didn't have any regret?
Yeah, that was something I had to do when I left college and I got drafted by Detroit Tigers and they won the World Series that year. I never did have that experience about going to training camp or playing baseball. It wasn't until about 8, 9 years, and this is how the story came about. A friend of mine was a scout with the Pirates at the time. He says, you know, we know you can throw and play baseball. We have an open tryout in the Pirates stadium, and all the GMs and all the head guys are scouts. They have an open tryout. And so at this time, I'm playing with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And that's before I got traded back to Edmonton in 93. And so in 92, I knew I was going on this tryout. And so I played the season in Hamilton. We lost in the Eastern Final. We were 11-7 that year. But in my off days, I was playing with a team called the Hamilton Cardinals playing baseball. That was all of my off days. I would play baseball, preparing for this opportunity. And when the trade came about, Edmonton wanted to trade me back to Edmonton. I had to okay the trade. And so when I okayed the trade, I already knew we were going to drive from Hamilton all the way down to Pittsburgh, throw for them, and then drive on to Edmonton and then, you know, start your new season and you know, new city. Well, same city, just coming back to it, return. And I pitched great that day. They signed me that day, and then I came to the beginning of the season. I told Edmonton I'm going to play baseball, and I finished that season in 93. We won the Grey Cup. I went back to training again with Mike Johnson. At the time, he was living in Edmonton, so I was training with him, and he was playing with the Montreal, the baseball team in Montreal.
The Expos.
The Expos, yeah. And started training with him, and then I went to spring training. It was down there about 3 or 4 months before, you know, at this time. The reason why I came back to football is because I was willing to take that year off and play baseball full year and dedicate it. But they weren't willing to compensate, you know, some of my salary. So I was like, okay. And so I ended up playing, and they didn't want to compensate, you know, my salary or sign me. And that's why I ended up eventually coming back to football and playing. But I was down there for 4 months. Played baseball with the Pirates, was playing with their double-A team and playing with their triple-A team. And when I played with their double-A team, it was around the same time Michael Jordan was playing, and he was playing with the White Sox in the big leagues. He got sent down to the double-A, and I got a chance to pitch against Michael Jordan. My brother was there. Spike Lee was there. I pitched well that day. Threw a two-hitter for 5 innings. And, you know, the experience of me going to spring training, which I needed to close that chapter, also let me know that if I would have went right out of university, I would probably be in the big leagues.
Any regrets?
No, I don't have any regrets because I wouldn't have never thought I would play 23 years. You know, don't forget, I had a size complex, so I was short. Let alone playing football, I didn't know I was going to play 23 years of football, let alone I figured if I play 10 years of, you know, football, that would be a good career. But I mean, who would have thought I would play 23 years with my size and, you know, your ability to stay healthy for pretty much your whole career.
Damon, thanks so much for joining us in Storytime. Where can people, what's the name of the podcast? Where can they listen to your podcast?
My podcast is on Instagram Live. It's a Damon Allen 9. It's called the Whole Nine Yards podcast. And, you know, during this COVID, you know, I got to about 16, 17 episodes. I took a break, but I'm thinking about getting back into it as well. And so, because, you know, the Whole Nine Yards is also the name of my book that I'm writing as well. And so we're steadily plugging away.
Well, we look forward to reading it. I can imagine there'll be some great tales in that book, no doubt. Thanks for your time, Damon, as always. We appreciate it.
It's always great because, like I said, most of my good stories are coming from Edmonton. I learned a lot during that time, and no question that's a great organization, and I'm glad I had the opportunity, right, to play there, because the 6 years I was there, we went through 3 great games.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Always great time, Damon. Thanks so much.
You too, guys. Take care. Thank you for having me on.